We're very thankful that Brother Virgil has heeded to the charge this morning to preach the word and have felt that he has indeed done that. And scriptures don't tell us to preach the morning newspaper or to preach poetry. It says preach the word. Preach the word. And pray that the Lord will bless me to do the same. I want to draw your attention this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The subject that is on my heart is very similar to that Brother Virgil has brought to our attention. I want to start reading with verse 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where the word of the Lord says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Paul begins here with this first verse that I've read to you, and he says, "And all things are of God." You know, a lot of times when I'd say every time you see that phrase, "all things," in the scriptures, you need to stop and take a step back and say, what things are under consideration?
Yeah. Amen.
The mistake that we would make, and one of the more grave mistakes we could make with a scripture, is to not put it in its proper context. And a mistake that you're sure to make is to interpret all things to mean everything. Could you imagine if you were to change out the "all things" in that phrase and put "everything"? And everything is of God. That would therefore make God responsible for everything that takes place. I was talking to somebody not too long ago who said that they were discussing the context of all things in Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 32. Of course, if we're familiar with those group of verses, the scripture says, "For all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, those he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we therefore say to these things?"
Amen.
"For we know that all things work together for good to those that love God." And they said, "What do you think all those things are?" That man said, "Well, I used to believe it was those things listed in those verses, and then some other things." He said, "And then I began to believe that it was just those things listed in those verses following." He said, "Now I'm at the conclusion that I think that everything that happens in this world is working together for good." Man, You know, I woke this morning, and where we're living right now, we don't have access to a TV. We don't have it hooked up. If grandparents will leave us alone when they come to visit us, we don't have plans to hook one up. We kind of like the environment that we have there without having one. It's just fine with us. But I saw yesterday where there were two mass shootings that took place in this country. There was one in El Paso, Texas. I believe the other one was in Dayton, Ohio. And a man committed, or in a case, two different people committed mass murder on a mass scale. I believe one of them was in a Walmart. I'm not sure where the other one was. And everything is of God. And every action that takes place and that we do is ordained of God and caused by God. Then we must stand here this morning and profess that our Lord is the cause of such action as that. God forbid.
Yeah. Amen.
God forbid. I'm going to tell you what, there's some things that my children can do, have done, and will probably continue to do. That some people, whenever they observe them doing that, may look at me. And you know, there will be some things that, even because I'm a sinner, I cannot declare that those things are not of me, because I'm a sinner, you see. I can't sit back and say that I don't have any cause in whatever sin they commit. They got their sin from me. But I want to tell you, a place where I did not get my sin from was from my Lord. I didn't get what I've got flowing through my veins as far as the nature of Adam from my Lord. That is not for him to blame. He's not the one to blame for. God forbid. But you know, there may be some things that they do that they've never observed me do, and that they didn't learn from me. And I would say that is not of me. They didn't get that from me. And whenever it comes to sin, we didn't get it from the Lord. We didn't get it from Him. He says, "And all things are of God." It's all things from the preceding text. And that is that all things are become new. He's speaking here about a new creature. And he's discussing a subject that all I could do was smile as Brother Berger closed out there in Ephesians chapter 2 and spoke about peace between God and man. Because you know the very definition of the word that's used over and over and over again in these series of verses that I've read to you is a word called reconcile.
Yeah.
And reconciliation. And the very definition of reconciliation is to cause one to be at peace with another. To be the cause of two entities having peace that otherwise have no peace. And the scripture here, Paul is telling us that we have been reconciled to the Lord. He says in this opening verse, he says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ."
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I don't know about you, but that phrase, a verb, hath reconciled, has a tense to it that sure does a whole lot for the comprehension of what the Lord has done for us.
Amen.
He's not here speaking about a reconciliation that is to come. We're going to get to that. Or a reconciliation that still needs to happen. We're going to get to that. But before you can ever get to what it means to be reconciled in the present tense and to be reconciled in anything that we may do, you've got to first understand that there's a past tense to a work that the Lord Jesus Christ did for us on the cross at Calvary. There was some reconciliation done by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He hath reconciled us to God by Himself. Everyone that Jesus intended to make at peace with God by paying for their sins on the cross at Calvary, they are at peace with God. Do you hear me? He says, not imputing their sins unto them, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Those who Jesus died for, those who Jesus bled on the cross at Calvary for, their sins will never, ever be imputed unto them. Their sins will never be laid to their charge. Paul says in Romans chapter 8,
exactly after those verses that I just got done quoting a little bit earlier. He said, who shall therefore lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You can't charge God's elect with anything because Jesus has set apart themselves from their sins and has made them at peace with God by His blood. Do we understand that? Amen and amen. He hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. See, you couldn't do it.
No.
You couldn't just come to the conclusion, I need to be at peace with God.
No.
That doesn't mean you can't come to that conclusion in some avenues of life. I'm going to tell you what, I've gotten to the point and sometimes butting heads with somebody enough. I don't know if you get worn out with my stories from my secular employment or not, but sometimes they match. Sometimes they fit the bill, so I try to give them to you. If you do an open records request, you can come down and get a whole bunch of paperwork on some of them, so it's not secret. But you know, sometimes here in this digital age, you know, you're typing away at something, you got a whole list of stuff to do in front of you, and you're trying to take care of everything, trying to do this and do that as well, and sometimes you don't think about the tone that may come across whenever you send an email. I sent one this past week, and I was just in a hurry. I didn't think anything about it. I'm going to tell you, that lady I sent it to that lives out here in this community sure got her feelings all kind of hurt because of what I put in it. Next thing you know, employees at the Corps of Engineers and at the EPD office in town and everybody else got included with what she sent back to me, just lighting into me and letting me have it. She couldn't believe that the county would employ someone like me, much less have one be a department head that didn't have any more public relations skills than I had. I said, boy, I've done it now. I've done it now. And you know, it was copied with several people in my office, and they said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to her. I'm going to go to her door. Because obviously I was misunderstood. Obviously, I, in my rush, didn't think about the tone that may have been portrayed in what I wrote. And I got back in the office on Friday, and everybody was wondering, saying, what happened? I said, I'm her new best friend. I can tell you that. I'm her new best friend. Because what I did was I reconciled a situation. And see, there's some avenues in your life where absolutely you can say, I'm going to make this right. I'm going to be the peacemaker and the cause of there being a peace between two entities that otherwise would be in enmity with one another. But I want to tell you, whenever it comes with God, whenever it comes to God, you can't just awake one morning and say, I'm going to have peace with God. It took the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to make you at peace with your Maker. Do you understand that?
Amen.
And I want to tell you, He's done it. That is a past tense verb. He hath reconciled us to Himself by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that work of reconciliation that He speaks of, He says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. I tell you, the Scripture says that John chapter 12 said, when was that work of reconciliation of the Lord done? I tell you, He said, if I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men unto me. I want to tell you, when that reconciliation was done, it was done on the cross. And He tells us that in the very last verse, for He hath made Him to be sin for us. And that time that He was sin for us was a time that He was on that cross. He became sin for you and I. I like what Brother Eddie Whitby said about this last verse, and I've said it before. Whenever you read this verse, He says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Brother Eddie used to say that he that was a somebody became a nobody, that you and I who are nobodies might be somebody through Him. Yeah. If you think about that for a second, that's exactly what that verse is saying. Is He who was somebody became a nobody, that we as nobodies might be somebody through His work. And I want to tell you, for He who knew no sin, He became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's the cause of that peace. He's the cause whereby we have peace and harmony with God through His blood, and because He dwells within us and He's not imputing our sins unto us. And I want to tell you, that's the very definition of reconciliation. He made peace where peace could not be made by any other soul. Do you understand that? No one could just say that I just want to do it in and of myself. He did it because we couldn't do it. Praise be unto His wonderful name.
Paul here, he not only speaks about the reconciliation of the work of the Lord on the cross, he speaks about a ministry of reconciliation.
Yeah.
He speaks about a word of reconciliation. Then he turns around and charges them to be reconciled. You know, as I was looking at this and I was discussing it with a minister friend of mine, I said, how in the world, if you do not differentiate between time and eternal things of Scripture, how would you ever, ever be able to determine what this verse is saying whenever he tells us that he hath reconciled us by Jesus Christ unto himself, and then he tells us to be reconciled? I'd be like, man, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Well, I tell you, if you take the context in which it's given, this speaks beautifully about what Brother Virgil has already presented to us this morning. Because not only is he telling us how we are at peace with God by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he speaks of a ministry of reconciliation. He says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. So that means Jesus did some of it, and then he called men to do the rest of it. Half and half. 50-50 deal. That's what some people say, isn't it, Brother Virgil? The Lord has done his part. Now you can just do yours, and it'll become a full effect. Oh, no, that's not what that ministry of reconciliation is that he's talking about. Oh, no. See, a ministry is a work. Whenever you read about a minister, you know, even the Lord Jesus Christ, the Scripture says that he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister.
Yeah.
And to give his life a ransom for many. He says, he came not for others to work and labor for him, but he came to work and labor himself. You know, when it comes to the work of the ministry, he's never told anybody else to do anything he didn't do himself. He's never told anybody else to do anything he didn't do himself whenever it comes to the work of the ministry. He did every bit of it. And Brother Virgil has brought those things to our attention this morning. The very work of the gospel minister themselves is defined in the work that the Lord Jesus Christ did. If we'll just do it just like he did it, we'll be just fine.
Yeah.
I tell you, we don't have the power that he had. I tell you, I don't believe this morning that we have the... I don't believe we can do it as good as he can do it. I can tell you that.
No.
I don't believe there's ever been a preacher that could preach as good as Jesus could. I don't believe there'll ever be one either. He does it better, but I tell you, he set the standard.
Yeah.
And he, in the institution of the office of the apostle and of the gospel minister, he set up this ministry of reconciliation that he said is given to us. See, the office of the ministry is the one I believe it's given to, but make no mistake about it, the office of the ministry is not separate from the kingdom. The office of the ministry is embedded in the kingdom of God. It's part of it, and he's given them this ministry of reconciliation, this work of reconciliation, so that they would go forth and that they, by the preaching of the gospel, you see, would bring two entities that used to be at odds together.
Yeah.
Not for the purposes of eternal salvation, but for the purpose of the truth.
Yeah.
For the purpose of the truth. You understand this morning that without the truth, regardless of whether or not you're at peace with God in the eternal courtroom of God's courtroom, and every single blood-bought child of God is, but without truth, we're constantly searching. We're constantly in distress in our hearts saying, where can we find rest? Where can I find peace? But I want to tell you, he gave a ministry of reconciliation, a gospel minister to come and to preach his word and to do the work so that those that have been made at one with God by his blood would be made one with God in their minds and in their hearts, and that they would have peace thereby. You know, heard the story of someone here recently that their whole life was, their mind was in jeopardy about where they would spend eternity. And that they were never convinced that it would be in glory. They didn't have any hope of their salvation. You say, well, hope doesn't have anything sure to it either. You can't disengage hope and surety. If you do, we need to discuss hope again.
Yeah.
surely there's some assurance and hope to be sure.
Amen.
The scripture says we're saved by hope.
Yeah.
And I don't read anywhere in the Bible where there's salvation in doubt. But I tell you what, there's salvation in assurance through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, my hope is not in my hope. And my hope is not in my belief. My hope is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And in that assurance and that confidence that is given unto me, whenever I hear the gospel of what He's done, whenever I read about the evidences that exist because of what He's done, and I observe those evidences and I rejoice in those precious truths, I believe that I'm saved by the hope that the Lord's blessed me to be able to have. But I tell you, without the ministry of the reconciliation, we would be lost and without that hope. Do we understand that? I'm not lifting the office of the gospel minister up this morning. I trust that we understand the blessings that come. How beautiful are the feet of them, is what the scripture says in Romans chapter 10, that preach the gospel of peace, the glad tidings of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, how beautiful are they to the sinner that all their life had felt in doubt about where they would be for all eternity. Well, I want to tell you, the Lord set forth a ministry and a work. See, the scripture says that after He sent it up on high, He gave gifts unto men. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers.
Yeah.
He says, for the work of the ministry. So whenever we read about a ministry of reconciliation, it's a work. So in other words, it's something that somebody does, something that someone must engage in to come forth and to do this labor of reconciling the minds of the blood-bought children of God to the truth of what He's done in them so that they can be one with another and they can rest and have peace. You know, we sing that hymn. When my soul is resting in the promised land above,
mm-hmm.
I'll be satisfied.
Yeah.
And you know what? True, and amen. I don't believe we'll want for anything in glory. Maybe your view of glory is different than mine. Maybe you'll get up there and think that there's something there that you need that you're not going to have. But I believe by the authority of God's Word, I think everything that you're ever going to want or everything that you would ever want or would ever need is going to be in glory whenever we get there. And I believe that hymn is true. When my soul is resting in the promised land above, I'll be satisfied. I want to tell you amen and amen. I'll be satisfied whenever I get there. But whenever it comes to the truth of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me, I'm satisfied with it. I don't want to change it at all. All I want to do is hear it over and over and over again that the Lord has done these things for me. I'm satisfied with the truth. I don't want to change it at all. All I want to do is just rest and have peace in the things that Jesus has done for me. All I want to do is show up and sing those praises unto Zion. All I want to do is hear preaching like we've heard this morning. All I want to do is shake hands with the saints of God and bow in prayer to a holy God in heaven. I'm satisfied with what the Lord gave. And I believe there's satisfaction and peace and there's reconciliation there in the ministry of reconciliation. When the man does it. But you know, He didn't just speak of the work of reconciliation. You know, have you ever had somebody give you a task and not give you anything to work with? It's hard, isn't it? Some cases it's impossible. Whenever it comes to the ministry of reconciliation, I'll tell you this morning, it'd be impossible for the minister of the gospel to be able to reconcile if you didn't have some sort of tools. What are the tools? The word of reconciliation. See, He gave the work of reconciliation to the gospel ministry that's nested in the kingdom of God. He gave the word of reconciliation. He said it's committed unto us. You remember over in Romans chapter 3, we tried to speak not too long ago. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed, given, in other words, to be kept in your entrusting care, committed the oracles of God. Well, I tell you, the gospel ministry has been given to the kingdom of God to be entrusted, to be cared for, and to be appreciated for the things that they bring forth and the peace that we receive because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I love the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the good news of what the Lord has done for me. I tell you, it's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not Jewish nor Greek. I've done the DNA test, and they didn't find either one of those in my trails. But I'm going to tell you what, I believe that they had this old Gentile in mind whenever he said Greek, because I believe there's joy in it to the sinner that knows that he is nothing but deserving of an eternal hell, but he can hear about a Savior who died for him, that he gets to go to glory to be with Him forevermore. I'm going to tell you, that delivers me. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, this is the power of God. And He said He gave this ministry of reconciliation, and He gave it not only as a word, but He said, here's the tools that you have, a word of reconciliation. You can interpret that as being the preached word, or you can interpret that to be the word of God that we read from this morning. And either one of them, you're going to be right. I believe it's the word of God that we read from. He says in verse 19, to wit, that means even as that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He's not only given us the ministry of reconciliation to preach these things, He said, here's what you preach, the word.
Amen.
The word. You ever wonder how, and I've had this mark since I got here at 10 o'clock this morning where I thought my mind was. How a man stands up that I swapped text with on Thursday night whenever we were at the Braves game getting flooded on. Brother Virgil sent me a text, said, looking forward to seeing you on Sunday. Other than that, no communication during the week whatsoever. He shows up and preaches on Preach the Word, and yet two minds are as one, and we would question the miracle of the preaching of the gospel. I tell you, it's amazing how the Lord works like that.
Yes, it is.
It's amazing. He said, preach the word. And that's the same thing what that word of reconciliation is. Here's the word of reconciliation. Here's the tools whereby we learn about how we're reconciled. About how Jesus has shed His blood for us. About how we're at peace with God through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
I tell you, how in the world? How in the world can a sinner such as I have peace with God? Scripture tells us that with God all things are possible.
Yeah.
Because without Him, that work and that goal is certainly impossible. It's unattainable. I want to tell you, by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not only possible, it has been done. We are reconciled to the Lord. And He's given the office of the ministry to preach that reconciliation to the hearts and minds of those who are His blood-bought children. He's given them the word, and He says, you preach this unto them. You teach this unto them, because this is my word. This is my last will and testament, if you will. This is the authoritative book which we have. Whenever we recognize God's word as being that, we'll understand the reason why there's so many people that attack it. Surely, if they can discredit this, if they can discredit it, what does a minister have? What do I have? I have what he said that the rest of the world is turning into, and that is just fables. That's all we have, is just the opinion of men. I tell you, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We have the word of reconciliation. We have the truth about what the Lord has done for us. And then he says, for the last thing, we have the reconciliation that the Lord did for us, past tense. We have the ministry of reconciliation, which is the work of the gospel ministry. We have the tool that he uses to bring about this reconciliation. He says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. See, an ambassador is a spokesperson or a representative of a kingdom in a foreign country or in another country. You know, a gospel minister is an ambassador, I believe, of heaven, really and truly. I believe that's where he's sent forth from. How discouraging it is, has been to me, whenever I've observed ambassadors of the United States of America go into a foreign country and speak ill of the country in which they are from.
Yeah.
Man, boy, that's discouraging, isn't it? It's equally as discouraging when an ambassador of the kingdom of God goes forth and speaks negatively about the kingdom that he's from. We're ambassadors of Christ. He says, as though God did beseech you by us. In other words, when the minister of the gospel does this, don't just look at the man. Don't just take this to be the words of men. You know, sometimes when people hear admonishments and things that need to happen from people, they say, well, who is he to say that to me? You know, if I come to you and I talk to you about child rearing, if I talk to you about what you need to do to your youngins,
You might look and say, well, Sister Allison had to have two of his outside the church the whole morning because they wouldn't behave, because that's where she's been out there the whole time. They wouldn't behave in here. You might say, who is he? Who is he to say such things? Well, you know, when it comes to these charges like this, what the Lord is saying here, he says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, is that when they speak with the authority of God's word, it ain't just the man speaking. It's God telling them.
That's right.
And you need to esteem and reverence the words as if it's the Lord speaking to you. And what he says to them, is he says, as if God is speaking unto you, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Again, if you don't understand the difference between timely and eternal things, you're going to say, how was I reconciled?
Yeah.
But yet he's telling me here, I still got to be reconciled. You know, the Arminian would say, well, you can be reconciled in the courtroom of God if you'll just be reconciled here in your mind. Calvinists will say, well, if indeed you were reconciled in the courtroom of heaven, you will be reconciled in your mind. Well, I'll tell you, here's what the truth of God's word says, and here's the way the old Baptists take the text. And that is, there are those, every single one who God chose before the foundation of the world that Jesus died for, that are reconciled by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and glory is their home, and nothing will change that.
Amen.
But I tell you, you can make some decisions here in your life that can take you out of peace and harmony and being one with your Savior and one with the one who died for you on the cross at Calvary, and not hear the admonishment of these words, be ye reconciled to God, and not be one with Him. You see, my daddy is Harry Deloach Martin. It's his name. That middle name's as odd to me as it is to you whenever I just said it. It's French. In case you're wondering where our roots are, my daddy, he makes you think of a French man whenever you meet him, doesn't he? But it goes way back. Able to chase it back to the 1400s in France. Deloches is the way it was spelled over there. He's my daddy. And I'm going to tell you what, somebody can test the blood in my veins and my DNA, and it will show up every time that he's my daddy. Every time. Nothing's going to change that.
Amen.
Nothing can change that. But I'm going to tell you, I remember a lot growing up of things that he would instruct me with, that he would admonish me with, that he would tell me I needed to do. And me being the rebellious person that I was, constantly tried to find a way out from doing what he told me I needed to do. And I can remember specifically this very word coming out of his mouth, and that is, you need to be reconciled to this. I'm your daddy. You're my son. And I'm going to tell you what, how many years of peace I could have enjoyed by observing and recognizing that relationship as opposed to rebelling against it and trying to do things my own way. We could have had a lot more peaceful relationship in our home, if you will. I want to tell you, whenever it comes to your home, the earth, the house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Your body is the temple of the living God where God dwells. You want to have some peace in your heart and your mind? Be reconciled to God. That is, He is your Father. He's told you some authoritative things that He's done for you and that you need to do as His child. And if you'll do those things, there's peace and unity that comes through obedience of your Father. Don't answer this if you ever got a whipping that you shouldn't have gotten, but how many whippings have you gotten from your Father because you obeyed Him? How many chastenings have you gotten because you obeyed Him? I tell you, I joked the other day that, well, I can't remember if I told this or not. I wondered whenever it happened whether or not it ought to be a good example, but I whipped the wrong one at my house. And you know, had to go back and make that all right all over again. Well, I want to tell you, God's never done that. He's never whipped the wrong one. And I tell you, you'll be at peace in your mind and in your heart when you're reconciled to the Lord through the truth of what He's done for you. That's the reason why he closes these series of verses with that text. For he hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I'm going to tell you, to the sinner that tries to find that reconciliation by some effort of their own, they'll never find that peace. They'll never find it, Brother Virgil.
And you say, well, I know some people that belong here, belong there, and they seem to be at peace. They're not observing their own lesson that they're teaching. That's the only way you can find peace, is that when you just quit observing and saying, I'm going to quit trying to persevere. I'm going to quit trying to do this and do that, because I found that I can't do it. And they just give up. Well, I'm going to tell you, you can quit trying too. You can quit trying to do it for the purposes of believing that your eternal salvation is based upon it. And you can say, Jesus persevered for me. Jesus did all these things for me. Jesus accomplished all these things for me. And whenever you say that, you can find peace. You can find harmony. Because see, it's not through yourself, it's through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the charge still stands today. Be ye reconciled to God. That's the way that's the message of the ministry of reconciliation. And that's the message from the tool that we've been told to teach it. I hope that these things have been presented in clarity this morning, so that we may believe them just as Paul was teaching the church at Corinth to believe them. You believe that about the truth today? That the truth today is the same truth that it's always been? That the gospel that Jesus preached, that the gospel that he taught his apostles and told them to preach, the gospels that the apostles continued to constitute the churches upon and began to ordain ministers with, is the same truth that you believe today? I believe it is. I believe it is. I believe it's the faith once delivered unto the saints.
Yeah.
I tell you, I believe there's reconciliation therewith. I believe there's peace therewith. May the Lord bless us with such. I thank you, kind, sweet teaching this morning.
Amen, brother.